All right, we'll say. It's like reality not the only over here. All right. All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Zayin. Daf Zayin. So just remember, again, we left off in the middle of a fascinating machlokes. A fascinating machlokes dealing with the actually the machlokes on Vav Amud Beis between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. So we'll say the machlokes centered on Tuma Chutra or Dechuya B'tzibur. Are the laws of Tuma, when applied to a community, are they Hutra? Are they totally suspended, meaning as if they don't exist? Or actually, it's better stated, Hutra means as if they totally don't exist, like they become Mutter, or Dechuya, or no, they exist, except they're set aside for these particular circumstances. Fundamental machlokes, Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says Hutra, Rav Sheshes says Duchui. So we left off from both the last two lines of the Gemara. Ika de Amri, there are those who say, so one of the test cases Rav said that came up was an interesting test case of where, let's say you have a base av. Let's say you have a shift of, a base av represents a shift of Kohanim who are serving on a particular day in the base Hamikdash. And what happens? Some of them became Tameh. Some of them became Tameh. So what's interesting is the Gemara suggested that if some of the members of the base Av became Tameh, so everybody would agree in those circumstances, let the ones who are Tahor do the Avoda. Where does the Machlokes come up? If the entire base Av became Tameh, would you be obligated to go ahead and seek out another base Av to do the Avoda? So once again, the Gemara suggests that according to Rav Nachman, the answer would be no, because Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, and according to Rav Sheshes, the answer would be yes, because Truma Duchuya B'tzibur. So the Gemara says, Ika da Amri, there are those who say the following. Ika da Amri, Afilu Heicha, Di Ika Tahorin, Utimeyin, Bahu Beisav, Palig Rav Nachman. So we'll say another approach with this. There are those who say that even if there are Tahorin and Tamei, even if some in the group are Tahorin, some are Tamei, even in that case, Rav Nachman will disagree. Va'amar Avdi Nami Tameyin. And even in that case, Rav Nachman will still say that what? That even in one base Av, even though there are Kohanim who are Tamein and Tahorim, the Kohanim who are Tamein could still do the Avodah. Why? Take a look at Tav of Zayin. The Chol Tumas Meis B'tzibor Rachmana Sharia. Because the Maisa, again, whenever it comes, when he uses Tumas Meis as the paradigmatic example of Tumah, because any time that you have Tumah and Tzibor, the Torah Mamish lifted the rules of Tumah. So once again, remember, based on what we learned yesterday, this is also a new application of Tumah B'tzibor. Up until now, which was really our exposure to this concept, was in Pesachim. We're actually going to reference the Gemara Pesachim again. But up until now, our discussions in Pesachim focused on Tzibor being the congregation. Here, and therefore, again, let's say, for example, there the Gemara was talking about, if it's Pesach time, and 51% of the population are Tameh. But also remember, when could that happen? So it actually did happen in times throughout history during war. So again, you'd have a situation where more than 51% of the population was Tameh Tumas Meis. In that case, the laws of communal Tumah are lifted, and they could offer the Korban Pesach in a state of Tumah. Here, Tzibor is reflected a little bit differently. Here, Tzibor is a reference to what? Communal service. So here, again, the general populace may be Tahor. But the issue over here is that the Kohen who's doing the Avodah is Tameh himself. So here the Gemara is also saying, Tuma Hutra B'tzibor. So here we have Rav Nachman literally saying that even what? That even if you have a base Av, and some in the base Av are Tameh, and some in the base Av are Tahar, that what? That Lemaisa, you could even let the Kohanim or Tameh and do the Avodah, because Tuma Hutra B'tzibor. Take a look at Rashi. Tap Rashi Zayin Amud Aleph. Kol Tumas Meis B'tzibor Shari Rachmana. Dechsid. You remember, the paradigm for Tumot Shabbat Sibor is actually Korban Pesach. So the Torah says that if a man will be Tumot Nefesh, a man will be ritually impure through contact with the corpse, and this is Pesach time, Ya'aseh Pesach Sheni. He should go ahead and do the second Pesach, Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara darshins, Ish Nidchel Pesach Sheni, Ve'in Sibor Nidchen. So also we darshin from there that what? First of all, only an individual is pushed to Pesach Sheni. The congregation, the Tzibor, is not. So we'll say again, why is this important for us? Because this is the concept of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor. Where do we get this idea that the laws of Tumah are suspended, whether it's Hutra or Duchuya? But how do we know that you can operate for a Tzibor even in a state of Tumah? It's learned that from Pesach Sheni. Because in Pesach Sheni, the Torah says that if a man is Tameh Lenefesh, he's pushed off the Pesach Shin, which tells us what? Which tells us what? That's only if an individual. But if the collective are Tameh, then what? Then they could actually go ahead and do the sacrificial service even in a state of Tumah. From here we see that for the community or for communal matters, the laws of Tumah are either suspended or just totally obviated. One of those two possibilities. So the makar for that is Karban Pesach itself. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, Mena Aminah. So Rav Sheshes says, where do I know my position? Remember, Rav Sheshes is the one who says, Tumah Duchui B'Tzir. Rav Sheshes is one also very important piece with this, which is that in the model of Tumah Hutra or Duchui, remember, right now, leaving aside the idea of whether it's Hutra, and again, remember, Hutra means we make it as if the laws of Tumah don't even exist in cases of communal situations, or Duchui means it exists but it's set aside. All of these concepts only apply to sacrificial services that have a set time. It's a very important caveat. We learn this in Pesachim. And why do we say that? Because remember, again, if the paradigm is Pesachim, is Pesach, Pesach is a communal offering that has a set time. So I'm just telling you that piece of information because the Gemara is going to work on that assumption, even though the Gemara does not say it explicitly right here. So Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, Mena Aminala, where do I glean my position? Remember, Rav Sheshes is the one who says, Tuma Duchuya Bitzibar. Where do I get my position from? Listen to this. It's actually very interesting. This Sanya, the Braisa teaches us, Haya Omeit Umakriv Minchas HaOmer. Let's say a Kohen is literally standing and offering the Karban HaOmer. And what happens? V'nitmeis biyado. And the Karban becomes Tamei in his hand. Something happens. Sheretz. Right? Sheretz dies right on top of the Karban HaOmer. And what happens? Omer. So what does he do? Very simply, he calls out to his fellow Kohanim. Listen, we've got a problem. Right? We have to bring new barley. So the Gemara says, Umavien acheres taktel. Okay, so fine. So they bring a new Karban. I will say again, the interesting part, of course, with this is, it could, remember, the Karban HaOmer was normally harvested actually the second night of Pesach. So, all right, this wheat obviously is not going to be harvested on the second night. It's not going to be harvested on the second day. But okay, fine, they bring him another Karban. Vim ein sham elihi. So listen to this. What happens, however, if there's no other barley? Rashi points out over here. It's Rashi. It's a little bit lower down, because it's not really on this piece, but the same kinds of ein elahi shelo matza mezuman lakach. There's no other barley. There's no barley again that's cut. There's no barley attached to the ground. There's no barley. Omrim lo, we say to the kohen, have pikeach ushesir. Be wise and be quiet. Which is another way of saying just don't say anything. Which also essentially means go forward and offer the karban. And I will say, what's interesting about this is the truth is not a chiddush. Why is it not a chiddush? Karban HaOmer, again, is a communal offering. It has a set time, and therefore what? The laws of Tumah essentially don't apply to it. Now, again, obviously, what Rav Sheshes is picking up on over here is, what is the first step in this process? You try to replace it. Says Rav Sheshes, Katani Mihas Omer Umevin Acheres Tachtel. So Rav Sheshes says, oh, so what do you see from here? You see from here that Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibor. Why? Because if Tumah was really Hutra B'tzibor, then what? Then you wouldn't even have to ask for replacement Karban HaOmer. Just offer up that Karban HaOmer, even though it's Tameh, it's okay. Because the laws of Tumah literally, Hutra B'osai means that like they're lifted. I have to find a good English word for it. Because it's not suspended, it's not lifted, it's as if they don't exist. We have like five attorneys over here. Abrogated. No, because suspended means like dechuya. Ignored. Okay. Happy you guys went to law school, by the way. All right, eliminate. All right. It's too early. I'm sorry. Okay. You can't. Don't charge me. All right. So now let's listen to this. Okay. So I'm just gonna use the Hebrew word. So Rav Sheshes says, you see from here that Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibor, which means that the laws are there, but they're set aside, which means that if we can operate in more optimal circumstances, we'll certainly try. That's why we asked. We say, the coin says, is there any more barley? If Tumah was truly Hutra B'tzibor, then the mice again, you wouldn't even have to ask for new barley. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman. So obviously, this b'raisa poses a kashin Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman is the one who said suspend this pritzim more with dechuya. But okay, as long as everybody understands the concepts, I'm not as worried. So Rav Nachman says, so Rav Nachman has to respond to this, because now Rav Nachman is on the holds to mahut Rav Tzibor. So I'm Rav Nachman Modina. I would agree with you, Rav Sheshes. Hecha di'ika shirayim la'achila. Oh, you know why this case is different of Karban Omer? Because there are shirayim la'achila. Shirayim la'achila means that part of the Karban is consumed. Look at Rashi. Modina hecha di'ika shirayim la'achila. Da'af agav the Karban tzibor. Karav betuma eno ne'echa betuma. Because actually we saw this in our Pesachim days as well. That even if you hold tuma hutra betzibor, Tumah Hutra B'tzibor only allows you to offer the Karban. It doesn't allow you to what? Tidgum. That's why, for example, remember by our Karban Pesach cases, in certain circumstances where you're offering the Karban in a state of Tumah, all it allowed you to do was to actually offer up the Karban, do the blood service, and not actually eat the Karban itself. So the, go finish with Rashi. He says, Kidarin b'keitzat solid, ubimincha nikmetzes modina, dimahadrina lazos, betarashu shayim mechon. So Rav Nachman says like this, even though I normally say tumah hutra betzibor, but I agree that in cases where there is a consumption component, that when possible, we try to do the carbon in a state of tahara. Why? Because this will allow you to eat the leftovers. So here we see an interesting, it's not an exception, but an interesting, almost like detail in Rav Nachman's position. So Rav Nachman will say, "I hold tumah hutra b'tzibor," which means that that I don't even need you. I don't need you to find tara kohanim. I don't need you to replace the tame carbon omer. But remember, tumah hutra b'tzibor only allows for the sacrificial service, doesn't allow for consumption. Therefore, says Rav Nachman to Rav Sheshes, "I agree with you that anytime there is an element of consumption, you should try to offer the carbon in a state of tara, in order not just to allow for the sacrificial service to occur, but in order to allow for consumption to occur as well." Nesis, Mary Zizikasha. Haya makrid minchas parim, ve'elim ukvasim, ve'nitmeis biyadam. So another case, a kohen was going ahead and literally offering up the mincha that comes with a par offering, that comes with the ox offering, elim, the mincha that comes with the ram offering, ukvasim, and the mincha that comes with the sheep offering. And what happened? Ve'nitmeis biyadam. So we'll say a similar case to what we just had before. And what happens? And the mincha becomes tamei in the hands of the kohen. And what happens? Omer, umevin acheres tachta. So what's the step one? Kohen reaches out to his fellow kohanim and he says to them, "Nu, I need a new mincha. Ve'im ein sham elahi. If there's no other mincha," which also, of course, is interesting because based on what we learned in Shkalim, there should always be plenty. But whatever the metzias, it doesn't, remember, It doesn't actually have to happen in order for the kasha, in order for the case to be a good case. Let's say again, there's no karban mincha. The fellow kohanim say to the kohen who's doing the sacrificial service, "Listen, heavy pikech, be a smart guy, ushtok, and keep your mouth closed." So what do you see from here? Again, this would be a riot of sheshes. Once again, you see the model that what? That when possible, we try to offer in the carbon in a state of tara, which indicates that although that truma only is dechuya b'tzibor, because if it was utra, there would be no need to try to find a tahor mincha offering. Just go forward with what you have. So the Gemara says, "My lav parim, elim ukvasim dechag." Now, what kind of carbon are we talking about over here? Are we not talking about the ox, the ram, and the sheep offerings of Yom Tov? So we'll say the reason why the Gemara says this over here is because, again, these would be karbanos then that have a particular fixed time, which should then, technically speaking, fit into the model of Tumah Hutra B'tzibor. And yet, the Braisa is still saying what? That when possible, the Kohen should try to get a new Tahar Mincha, which would seem to be a support for Tumah Dechuya B'tzibor. Amar Lecha Rav Nachman, so again, remember, this braisa is a proof to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is one who holds tuma dechuya b'tzibor. The laws exist, they're set aside, but whenever possible to comply with them, you should. And therefore, that's why the kohen's first step is, do we have any more mincha reserves that I could offer up a new karma mincha? And only if the answer to that is no, do we go forward with the karma. So it's a proof to Rav Sheshes, puts Rav Nachman again on the defensive. Rav Nachman says, no. See, remember, we'll say, this kasha only gets off the ground if you assume that the parim, elim, and kivasim are a fixed time carbon. Because remember, what did I tell you before? That the concept of tumah hutra b'tzibor, which is learned from the paradigm of Pesach, needs two conditions. Number one, has to be a communal offering, and number two, it has to have a fixed time. So Nachman says, you presuppose, you assumed that the animals, that the karbanos over here are fixed time karbanos of Yom Tov. But says Rav Nachman, why do you say that? Amalekha Rav Nachman, lo, it's not true. Parim, par avodah zara. What's the par? The par that we're talking about is an ox that was offered for avodah zara. We'll see this actually later on in the Gemara, that if the Sanhedrin issues an erroneous ruling, and as a result of their ruling, people end up doing avodah zara. Let's say the Sanhedrin permits a particular activity that they thought should have been permitted, but in the end was idolatrous in nature. There is a special par, there's a special ox offering that's brought on behalf of the entire Jewish people. So, am I done? Speed up. Okay. So says the Gemara. Omlecha Rav Nachman, lo parim par avodah zara. No. This is not talking about the karbanos of Yom Tov, but rather it's talking about the karban that's brought as a result of avodah zara. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says par avodah zara tzibur olehi utuuna nesachin. So this is a karban tzibur and it's an ola. Af agav the tzibur hu. So even though again yes. This is a communal offering, but remember, it's lacking the second condition, which is what? Kevan delo kavia lezman mahadrinon. Remember, again, this is not a fixed time carbon, and because it's not a carbon with a fixed time, therefore what? It doesn't really fit into the paradigm of Tuma Hutra B'tzibor, and therefore even Rav Nachman would agree that if possible, we try to find a tar carbon. So again, so Rav Nachman is just pointing out that Rav Sheish is a good try, but the Bryce is not a kasha on me. The Bryce actually fits very well with my Tuma ideology as well, because even I only hold Tuma Hutra B'tzibor with two conditions. It has to be Tzibor, which this carbon satisfies, but it has to have a fixed time, like carbon Pesach, which this carbon does not satisfy. Therefore, I would even agree that when possible, this should be offered up in a state of Tara. Elim, what's the case of Elim of the rice? What's the case of the rams? Be'elo shel aro. That's referring to the ram offering of Aaron. When? This is on Yom Kippur. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Elo shel Aaron, Yom Kippurim. So this is Aaron's Yom Kippur offering. So, Afa gav de kvile isman. Now, this carbon does have a fixed time. Because remember, again, it's offered on Yom Kippur, but Kevan de Yochitu Mahajinan. So he also said, this is very interesting. Rav Nachman is of the opinion that Aaron's ayo that he offers up on Yom Kippur is a personal offering. Now, this is interesting because we learned something a little bit different two blocks back, that we learned that even though it's phrased in the singular, everything on Yom Kippur is a communal offering. So there are two ways you can understand this statement. Either Rav Nachman disagrees with that, and Rav Nachman doesn't agree that everything on Yom Kippur is a tzibur, that this is actually Aaron's personal offering, or perhaps it's actually not a contradiction. What he's saying is it has the status of a communal offering, but at the end of the day, it also has the status of a personal offering. It's both. It's called Aaron's, but it's also there for the community. In which case, Rav Nachman will say, my concept of Tumot Shabbat Tzibur only applies to offerings that are purely communal in nature. And this one is not. So therefore, the aisle is not a kasha on me either. I would agree by the aisle of Aaron, even though it's fixed time, it's a personal karban, and therefore, when possible, it should be offered in a state of tara. Kvasim, what's the case of the kvasim? Bekeves haba'im ha'omer, di'ika shirayim la'achila. Oh, what's the case of kvasim? The case of kvasim is talking about the sheep that are brought together with the karban ha'omer. And this goes back to what we said before. And remember, Karban HaOmer, according to Rav Nachman, poses a different issue. Why? Because part of it is labeled for consumption. And Rav Nachman says, when I say Tumot Shabbat Tzibur, that only works for sacrificial rites. It doesn't work for consumption. Therefore, whenever a carbon has a consumption component, we always try to offer it up in Dara. So we'll say, Rav Nachman has once again sidestepped this entire kasha. Sheish just thought he brought a bam kasha on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman totally diffused it. This price works beautifully with me as well. Weiter. Nesve, another kasha. Dam shenitma v'zarku b'shogeg. What happens if a coin, you have sacrificial blood, the blood became tameh, and it was sprinkled. It was sprinkled anyway. So what happens? B'shogeg hurtza, if it was done accidentally, right, meaning that the coin didn't realize that the blood was tameh, then the blood service works. B'mezid, however, if the coin did it intentionally, which means, again, he knew that it was tameh, but he still sprinkled it, lo hurtza. So the blood application does not work. Look at Rashi. We'll discuss this in just a moment.
Or
Someone's like, without leaving aside the technical details that Rashi is bringing down, Rashi happens to point out that lo furtsa means the blood application is not good yet. If it was a carbon that was brought for atonement, the owners would in fact be atoned. But for our purposes, what we want to focus on right now is that the price is clearly saying that if the blood was tame and nevertheless sprinkled intentionally, the carbon does not work. What does that show you? That shows you that certainly Akasha on Rav Nachman, who says, Toma hotra bet sibor, to which the Gemara says, no, it's not Akasha. Kitanya hahi diyachid. What is the Braisa talking about? The Braisa is talking about individual offerings. Remember, the whole discussion of Toma hotra or dechuyi bet sibor is a discussion in sibor, in communal offerings. No one is suggesting that these concepts apply to, no one yet is suggesting that these concepts should apply to individual offerings. Therefore, says Rav Nachman, this is talking about a carbon yachid, and if a carbon yachid was intentionally offered bituma, then einachinami, at least certain aspects of it would not be good. Toshma, we're not finished. Gemara goes weiter. Amahat tzitz meratza. Now we're going to start to talk about the tzitz. The tzitz was the gold plate that the Kohen Gadol wore on his forehead. Interestingly enough, what ended up happening was there was the mitznefes. There was like, I guess we call it the turban. It's his hat. And then again, he wore on his forehead a gold plate. And on that gold plate, it said Kodesh Lashem, sanctified to God. That is one of the special begun, one of the special vestments of the Kohen Gadol. So Gemara talks about the idea that the tzitz, we'll see if it's the wearing of the tzitz, the presence of the tzitz, actually goes ahead and atones. It actually atones. Someone says, what does it atone for? Amah tzitz miratza, al hadom va'al habosar va'al hachilev, shenitma bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid, bein ba'ones bein b'ratzom, bein b'yachid bein b'tzibor. Supposed to listen to this. What does the tzitz atone for? So it atones for blood. It atones for sacrificial meat. Chilev are the fats that became tame. Whether they became tame b'shogeg or b'mezid intentionally, unintentionally, for the individual, or for the tzibor. So I'll say, listen to this for just a moment. So what the Gemara is saying over here is like this. First of all, take a look at Rashi. Al-Mahat tzitz meratza. So first of all, how do we know this idea that the tzitz itself atones? So Rashi writes, Tichsiv v'nasa Aaron es avon ha-kadoshim. So Torah says literally, Aaron, literally translated, it means Aaron will lift up the iniquities of the sacrificial items. Which means the Gemara understands that the tzitz itself somehow atones for certain transgressions that occur within the Beis HaMikdash. What the Gemara seems to be saying is like this, that in the event that, let's say, something is offered up in an inappropriate way. So let's say blood or sacrificial meat or sacrificial fats became tame. Shogeg, mezid, onis, ratzar, ever it became tame. Now it turned out it was offered up already. The tzitz atones for that. The tzitz allows that sacrifice to be a good sacrifice. So the Gemara says, 1 second. So first of all, why do you need the tzitz? If you tell me, again, it's another kasha of Nachman. If you tell me that tumah hutra b'tzibor, if you tell me, again, obviously this will only work for, could only ask this kasha on communal items. If you tell me that tumah hutra b'tzibor, then I don't need a tzitz to be meratza, because the halacha tells me that by definition, anything that's communal can be offered up in a state of tumah. Why does it have to be meratza? No. Rav Nachman will come along and say, Ki katani atzitz miratza adi yochid. Oh, because Rav Nachman will say, you're right. You don't need the tzitz for communal offerings, but what do you need the tzitz for? You need the tzitz for personal offerings, for a yochid. People say, well, the possibility is, afilu teima b'tzibor. Or the truth is, says the Gemara, Rav Nachman, you could give another kash, you could give another answer as well. The tzitz is necessary for karbanos tzibor. What kind of karbanos? Bahanach delo kavia la zman. Because again, what did we say? In the Karban Pesach paradigm, which is the Tumah Hutra B'tzibor paradigm, the only type of karbanos that are accepted even in a state of Tumah are what kind of karbanos? Communal and fixed time. Which means again, so says Rav Nachman, you do need the tzitz for communal offerings. You need the tzitz for communal offerings that don't have a fixed time. Meisves, Gemara raises a kasha. V'nasa Aaron es avon ha-kodeshim. So again, the Torah is quoting the pasuk over here by the tzitz, that Aaron will go ahead. The beginning of this pasuk is talking about the tzitz. So Aaron will, and when wearing the tzitz, Aaron will go ahead and literally lift up. Lift up, you know, is a biblical term for purging. Lift up means lifting up and removing. Aaron will remove the iniquities of the sacrificial service. V'chi'eza avon hunose. So now the Gemara says, all right, let's analyze. What exactly does this tzitz work for? So the Gemara says, im avon pigul. Harikvar ne'emar lo yiratze. They will say pigol. What's pigol? So pigol means if a kohen when doing the avoda has in mind that he's going to eat the carb. Meaning if you're a kohen by the way, kohanim, listen well, love you kohanim. You mamish like kohanim have to be of the highest moral caliber. You guys are good. But why? Because a kohen can mess, bless you. Kohen can mess you over so badly. Because if you go ahead and you bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, all the kohen has to do is think the wrong thing, and you're out. And the worst part is, you'll never even know that you're out. You know, after 120, why don't you bring your chatas? What are you talking about, God? I brought my chatas. You know, that kohen who you had a falling out with, you shouldn't have had a falling out with him. Because now, again, there are penalties against the kohanim as well for things like this. But it's so the Gemara says, so pigol is when the kohen has an erroneous machshava. Then let's say the carbon is only supposed to be eaten for one day or one night. The kohen has in mind he's going to eat it on the second day. That's machshava's pigol. That's pogel. So the Gemara says, if a person goes, so what does it atone for? See if you can tell me that the tzitz atones for pigol. That can't be harikvar ne'emar lo yiratza. It's not true. You can't fix pigol. Even the tzitz can't fix pigol. The Torah says lo yiratza. It cannot be atoned for. So the tzitz doesn't work for pigol. Im avo nosar. If you're going to tell me it's nosar, but I will say nosar means if you leave over the carbon past the permitted window of consumption. So the tzitz, so maybe the tzitz takes care of nosar. That can't be harikvar ne'emar lo yichashe. Torah says that you can't do anything to remedy it. Ha, I'm a base. Ha, eno nose, ela avon tuma. Shehotra michlala bitzibor. So the Gemara says, oh, what do you see from here? You see from here that lemaisa, what is it? So what does the tzitz come to allow? The tzitz comes to allow tuma. That if a carbon was offered in a state of tuma, the tzitz is miratza. And then the Gemara adds in a very interesting statement. And Tumah already, and similar Tumah, has already been permitted in the context of a Tzibur. So what the Braisa seems to be saying is the following. That what does the Tzitz take care of? The Tzitz takes care of the Tumah of individual Karbanos. And the Gemara says, and you know why that fits nicely? Because the Tumah of communal Karbanos is already lifted. What the Braisa essentially is saying is the following. Since we already know Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, therefore the Tzitz takes care of whatever that halachic principle does not. Therefore the Tzitz is Meratza for Tumah of individual Karbanos, and you could also throw in there what? Karbanos Tzibur that don't have a fixed time. Now why is this important for us? Take a look at Rashi. Well, actually we don't have to look at Rashi. The Gemara says, V'kash Rav Sheshas. So I said this rice. Now we reverse the tables. We were asking Rav Nachman the whole time. Now the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes, how do you answer this rice? Because what does Rav Sheshes say? Rav Sheshes is of the opinion that says Tuma Drachuya Bitzibor, that the laws of Tuma apply, but under duress we'll set them aside. But lechatchila we don't want to. What did the Braisa just say? The Braisa just said explicitly Tuma Hutra Bitzibor. The Braisa just said explicitly like Rav Nachman. So Rav Sheshes, what are you going to do with this Braisa? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, no, let's go back to it. So the Gemara says, Tanayi, the Gemara says, you're right. The machlokis between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman is in fact already a machlokis tanoim. So the Gemara says, Disanya, tzitz, bein sheyeshno amitzcho, bein sheeno amitzcho miratze. Div Rabbi Shimon. As well as another very interesting discussion. So now we've established that the tzitz is miratze, the tzitz atones. So we had a fundamental machlokes as to what the tzitz atones for. So now it sounds like what the tzitz atones for, one thing that everybody will agree with is that it atones for individual or personal karban, personal tumah, which means, again, that lamaisa, if you have a circumstance in which somebody offered up their karban in a state of tumah, the tzitz will go ahead and be meratzeh for that. And it also seems to also include communal karbanos that don't have a fixed time. At least according to Rav Nachman, it doesn't have to include anything else. Why? Because any other communal karbanos will be covered under the principle of Tumah Hutra B'tzibor. So now the question is, under what circumstances is the tzitz miratze? Meaning, where does the tzitz have to be? Or what has to be going on with the tzitz in order for it to have these we'll call it curative, or these purification, all right, to be able to be metaher these things. So the Gemara says, I have to formulate these ideas better. So the Gemara says the following. So the Braisa says, the Rabbi Huda holds, which is Rabbi Shimon holds, that the tzitz, wherever the tzitz is, whether it's on the forehead of Aaron, on the Kohen Gadol, or not on the forehead of Kohen Gadol, it's miratzeh. It literally atones, it purifies, which means, Rabosai, that the curative powers of the tzitz are in existence as long as the tzitz is in existence. It doesn't have to be that the tzitz is being worn. It could be hanging on, on the peg, right? We're actually going to talk about the peg in just a little bit. And then again, and lemaisa, it still works. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda says no. Odeo amitzcho miratze. Ain odeo amitzcho in miratze. Rabbi Huda says no. The tzitz is only miratze. The tzitz only has curative powers when it's being worn. It has meaning. What is like the spiritual battery of the tzitz? It's the Kohen Gadol. It's the Kohen Gadol. When the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz, he activates it. And when he activates it, that's when it has this ability to purge these individual karbanos and certain communal karbanos of their tumah. But if it's just hanging around, it's just sitting on the, in the Kohanic wardrobe room, then lemaiseh, again, it's not going to do anything. Amar lo, Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon said, fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. Again, keep these machlokesim in mind because they're fundamental machlokesim. Rabbi Shimon says, sitz works. It doesn't matter if it's on the coin, not on the coin. Sitz is miratzeh. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Sitz only works when the coin gadol is wearing it. Says Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Yehuda. Says Amar lo, Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, coin gadol b'yom kippur miyochiach. So Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Huda, I'm going to prove to you that you're wrong. How am I going to prove to you that you're wrong? Through the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. What's the case of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur? She'ein odehu amitzcho umiratze. Because what happens with the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur? Remember, the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, and yet the tzitz still works. I'll say, where do we know that from? The Kohen Gadol, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is not wearing the tzitz. Why is he not wearing the tzitz? The tzitz is gold. The truth is, I take that back. The Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz for a good part of Yom Kippur Day. For a good part of Yom Kippur Day, because the Kohen does not wear gold garments for a good part of Yom Kippur. And yet, nevertheless, what? We still make the assumption, we know that the tzitz still works on Yom Kippur. So you see from here that lemaisa of the tzitz works, even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it. Amar lo Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda says no. Hanach leKohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. Leave that aside to Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. That's a Yom Kippur is a different. It's a different parasha. Why? Shetuma hutcher lo betzibur. So Rabbi Rabbi Huda gives Rabbi Shimon a fascinating answer. Rabbi Shimon, you think that it's the tzitz that takes care of tuma on Yom Kippur? That's not what takes care of Yom Kippur. You know why there's no problem with tuma on Yom Kippur? Because it's going back to what we learned before. Because all of Yom Kippur is considered to be a tzibur service. Oh, what's it considered to be a tzibur service? Guess what? What don't you need? You don't need the tzitz. Why don't you need the tzitz? Because should any situations of tumah come up, they're covered under the halachic principle of tumah hutra b'tzibur. Now, why is this important for us? Because it's clear from here that Rabbi Yehuda holds tumah hutra b'tzibur, which we could infer that nechlal. The Rabbi Shimon Savar Tuma Dechu Yehi B'tzibur. So the fact that Rabbi Yehuda counters Rabbi Shimon with this assertion, so we'll say, it's clear from this then that Rabbi Shimon was under the assumption that it is the tzitz that's Miratza on Yom Kippur, and why can't he rely on Tuma Hutra B'tzibur? Because apparently Rabbi Shimon holds Tuma Dechu Yehi B'tzibur. So all the Gemara is pointing out is from this machlokus about how the tzitz functions emerges a more fundamental machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about Tuma Hutra versus Tuma Dechuya. Rabbi Yehuda holds Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. Rabbi Shimon holds Tuma Dechuya B'tzibur. And therefore going back, when Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes have their machlokus, they are really just echoing an earlier machlokus Tanoim. So you'll have then Rav Nachman will hold the Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Sheshes will hold the Rabbi Shimon. Says the Gemara Amar Abaye, Bishanishbar hatzitz, the kuli amalo pligi de la miratza. So Abaye says, if you have a situation, this is now just almost, it sounds like a new discussion, but it's going to clarify what we just said before. Abaye says that if the tzitz broke, whatever happened, the tzitz broke, everyone agrees that the tzitz is not miratza. The tzitz obviously has no curative powers when it's not whole. However, ki pligi, when do they have machlok, yes? The tali b'sichsa, when literally it's hanging on a peg. So then I guess wherever hanging on a peg is just an expression for saying, it's on the coat rack. It's not being worn, it's just suspended. So what happens there? Rabbi Huda says, Am Netzach Binasa. Rabbi Huda is of the opinion. He holds the Torah says that literally when it's on the forehead of Aaron, Vinasa, that's when ultimately it atones. So the Torah is quite explicit in telling you that it's only when the coin wears the tzitz that the tzitz has its curative powers. Rabbi Shimon says, no. What does the pasuk say? Tamid l'ratzon lifnei Hashem. What does the Torah say? That it'll be forever. It'll be forever. It'll be forever before God. My tamid. What does it mean that the tzit is forever? Even if you're going to say that it always means that the coin's always wearing it, that's impossible. Why? That never happened. Does the coin not have to go to the bathroom? Obviously, I will say the coin is not wearing the tzit into the bathroom. So to say that tamid means, to say that tamid means that the coin is always wearing it is not feasible. Milo boy meinam, does the coin not take a nap? I will say the coin does not take a nap in his tzitz. So obviously, Reb Shimon says, tamid can't mean that the coin is always wearing it. Therefore, what must it mean? Ela tamid meratzehu. Rather, the tamid means that the mere existence of the tzitz is what's meratzeh, even if what? Even if what? Even if the coin gadol is not wearing it. So again, now also this is really just a continuation of the previous machlokas. So Rabbi Huda again is of the opinion that a coin has to be wearing it. Rabbi, that's Rabbi Huda. The coin has to be wearing it, and now he gets it from the pasuk of Ametzach v'nasa. Rabbi Shimon says, well, the pasuk says tamid. So tamid can't mean wearing it. Tamid must mean what? Just the mere existence of the tzitz, even if the coin gadol is not wearing it, is meratzeh. Or Rabbi Huda, nami haksev tamid. Tamid. But okay, so now the Gemara asks essentially what the other one does with the pasuk quoted by the other. So according to Rabbi Huda, who dashes the pasuk ametzach v'nasa, what does he do with tamid? What does Rabbi Huda dashes from tamid? Hahu tamid shelo yasiach daito mimenu. Oh. You know what Rabbi Huda does with this? Rabbi Huda darshins this tamid to say that the kohen has to have ever constant awareness about the presence of the tzitz. That when he's wearing the tzitz, he must always be aware of the fact that he's wearing it. Kidraba, like Rabbi says, Kidraba Barafuna, Dara Barafuna, Chayiv Adam Lamashmish Betfila Bechoshar. Rabbi says, this is actually halach lamaisa. When a person wears tefillin, a person is Abgi Lamashish literally means touch his tefillin at all times. Why? Why? Kavachomer mitzitz. We learn it out from the tzitz. Tap of ches. Umatzitz she'in bo'ela askara achos. The tzitz only has one mention of God's name because it's Kodesh Lashem. It only has one mention of God's name on it. And yet, Amra Torah ametz chotamit. And yet the Torah says, it shall always be on your mind. Shaliyasiach daito mimenu. That the Torah is telling the Kohen Gadol that you have to keep your mind always on it. Tefillin. Sheyesh bahen askaros harbe. Alachas kama v'kama. That when it comes to tefillin, which what Rabbi say, has many names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the more so how you have to be ever vigilant of your tefillin. Rabbi say, by the way, the Shulchan Aruch says, this is why we have the custom during Kriya Shema, that when we say, Ukshartam li'os al yodecha, v'yol tutefos, we touch our tefillin. So because of the development of kissing your tefillin, but the truth is, the Iker Din is not kissing your tefillin, the Iker Din is touching your tefillin. Why do we do that? I mean, you could say, okay, because we're mentioning it in Shema, it's very nice. It comes from this halacha. We try to touch our tefillin at least one time during the course of davening in order to keep an awareness of our tefillin. Where does the obligation to keep awareness of the tefillin come from? It comes from the tzitz. Therefore, Rabbi Huda says that the word tamid, you can remember, because Rav Shimon will say that tamid comes to teach you that the tzitz is meratzah even if you're not wearing it. Rabbi Huda comes along and says, no, the tzitz is only meratzah when you're wearing it. So what does Rabbi Huda do with tamid? Rabbi Huda says that tamid comes to teach you that lemaisa, you have to have an ever awareness of the tzitz. And from there, we also learn that anytime you are wearing the name of God, whether it's in the tzitz, or whether ultimately it's in your tefillin, you have to have a constant awareness. Let's see, we have 2 more minutes. I want to share with you. We'll stop over here, even though it's a little bit in the middle. Okay, let's... I'm not finished. So listen to this. I just want to share with you something interesting. I wrote this on my phone yesterday, so I'm just going to share it with you. Listen to this. So there's a fascinating... There is a fascinating tshuva by the Shavus Yaakov. The Shavus Yaakov was Rav Yaakov Yosef Reischer, who lived 1670 in Prague, died 1733. So the Shavus Yaakov was a fascinating catch. Just a little. Oh, first of all, sorry, before we get to the Shavus Yaakov, I have to tell you something important. First of all, number one, we paskin like Rav Nachman. That tuma dechuya betzibor. That's piece number one. We only pass like a nachem tuma dechuya betzibor, which means for our purposes that whenever possible we try to do things in a state of tara, whether that means getting new kohanim, or whether that means ultimately getting replacement karban omer, we paskin tuma duchuya betzibor. That's number one. Number two, we paskin, Rama paskins, that the tzitz, that's what the tzitz is meratzah for. The tzitz takes care of all types of tumah, whether on karbanos yachid or karbanos tzibor that were offered up in a state of tumah. Because now, boss, now that you say that tumah is only dechuyah betzibor, there is still some kapar that's necessary, and that's what the tzitz takes care of. So number one, we paskin like Rav Sheshas, right? That again, that lamaisa tumah dechuyah betzibor. And number two, the tzitz is meratzah. We paskin tuma dechuya betzibor, which is the position of Rav Sheshes. I apologize. Rav Sheshes, tuma dechuya betzibor. That's how we pass out the Rambam paskins lahalacha. And number two, the tzitz is meratz, and therefore for any karbanos yachid, any karbanos tzibor that are offered up in a state of tuma. We'll discuss again. We also paskin Rabbi Yehuda that the tzitz is only meratzah when the Kohen Gadol is wearing it. If the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it, the tzitz is not meratzah. So let me show you one quick thing, just in the 2 minutes we have left. So the Shvus Yaakov, listen to this kasha of the Shvus Yaakov. Shvus Yaakov writes, I apologize, I cut and pasted it onto my phone, I didn't get a chance to print it out. He says, Hayuragil lahalik near Chanukah b'shem and zayis, v'achshav, it's Chanukah, v'achshav nimtza b'yada rak neros shel shava, v'hischil lahachinam lahadlaka, v'achshav himiyu liyado shem and zayis. So listen to this case. I normally light with olive oil, but I didn't have olive oil tonight. I only had my wax candles. So I set up my wax candles in the menorah. And now, right when I'm about to light, what happens? Miracle of Hanukkah. Somebody brings me some oil. So now the Shlosh Yaakov says, am I permitted to go ahead and swap out the candles that I already set up and put in the oil? His kasha is, since I've already designated and gotten ready to light these candles, can I go ahead and swap out the candles and use oil or not? Because after all, using the oil is a mitzvah min ha-mubchar. Listen to Shmos Yaakov says, bless you, you'll see why I'm telling you this. He says, the Shmos Yaakov says, it would appear to me the Heshiv, the Yeshlo Chiyach Mikan, the Chavan de Hischil is Asik Benero Shava, Lo Yanichim Mipnei Shem and Zayis Hamod. The Shlosh Yaakov says it would appear to me that Lamaisa, you should not swap out the candles and use the Shem and Zayis that's Mufkar. Why not? Dahare Av im Tumahutra Betzibor, the Enot Sarach Lachter Achokan Karake, Mikamokum, Im Yochas. So listen to what he says. He says that Lamaisa, if we go with the idea, the Imkein Kan, Shevali Yodom Mincha Shitahora, Name of Mishab Dahachim, Vim Tachas Omer Atmea. He says like this. He brings it right from our Gemara, that what happens if the Kohen already began? What's the case in the Gemara, Namad Aleph? The case in the Gemara, Namad Aleph, is the Kohen is sitting there, and he has a carbon omer that's Tameya. So what's the process? He calls out to his other Kohanim, and he says, listen, do we have any Tahor, carbon omer? So the Shus Yaakov dashes, and he says, that's only because he discovers the Tumah when before he actually began the process of offering up the carbon. What if he had already begun to offer up the carbon? What would happen then? He would continue. Why? Because once you start the process, even though it's compromised in its essence, you still go forward with it. The Shlosh Yaakov says that's this case. The setting up of the candles of the menorah is the beginning of the process of hadlaka. And once you begin the process, even if you began the process in a compromised state, you nevertheless what? Continue to go forward with it. Therefore, paskins the Shvos Yaakov, once you set up those wax candles in your menorah, lemaisa, even if you got oil before you went ahead and you lit it, before you went ahead and you actually kindled the candles, you would not swap out the wax candles to put in the oil, because it's no different than the Kohen that began to already offer the carbon omer in a state of tumah. Once you start the process, even if it's compromised, you continue it. Obviously, this case is a little bit different because wax candles are kosher also. I'm sorry?
It's not the same case.
It is the same case. It's compromised. That's his point. It's lechatchila is a b'diavad. But Michael, it's even stronger. Obviously, if you can go forward with a carbon omer that is tameh, then of course, as a Shlosh Yaakov, candles that are, it makes the point. The point that you're right, the carbon case is more severe. But the fact that it works in the more severe case obviously means that it works in the lower case as well. Therefore, the Shos Yaakov actually paskins the Maisa, that in this case, once you set up the wax candles, even though you got oil before you actually lit it, you should still go forward with the wax candles. Everybody jumps on the Shos Yaakov and says, that's ridiculous. Why? Because the Shos Yaakov's whole approach is predicated on the idea that the setting up of the candles is the beginning of the Maisa Hadlaka. And therefore, the Shos Yaakov says, when you set it up, you already began the Maisa Hadlaka. Once you began, you don't turn back. Unless, of course, you're using like candles made of treif wax. But once you began, don't turn back, says the Chidah and others. Shos Yaakov, where are you getting that from? Who says that the setting up of the candles is the beginning of the Maisa Hadlaka? You know what the beginning of the Maisa Hadlaka is? The Hadlaka! And therefore, again, everybody argues on the Shos Yaakov and says, no, as long as you did not actually light those candles, you can absolutely swap them out and put in the oil. But amazingly enough, where does the Hamachlokis depend on? A little Gemara about Tamei Korban HaOmer in Maseches Yuma. All right, we'll see. We'll stop over here. Again, just a reminder. Oh, what do we paskin like? Okay. We don't paskin like the Shos Yaakov. We paskin against the Shos Yaakov. Therefore, were you to go ahead and set up your menorah with wax candles, and then it turns out that you ran into some oil before you did the Hadlaka, you would swap out the wax candles and use the oil instead. Again, on both sides, just a reminder, tomorrow morning we begin at 7:45. Shabbos, you get to sleep, mamish. 2 hours and 15 minutes later. It's right? No, an hour and 45 minutes, sorry. Hour and 45 minutes. Mamish. Okay, you sleep later. We'll begin again. Did
the Kohen Gadol wear the tzitz every